Lord, we come. We'd ask you to prepare our hearts, God, for the seed that you want to sow into us tonight. That, Lord, your Holy Spirit would continue to fill this place, God, and as you equip your saints, God, for the work of service, God, I just pray your grace over even these words, Lord, as we delve into your word, and we thank you that you give us life, that you give us time, you give us your presence, God, to walk us through this life, and we thank you for your grace over each of us. Amen. If you'll turn with me to Jude, the book of Jude, we're going to just delve into it tonight. The title that I put on this sermon tonight is Contend, because I really believe that there is in our lives an opportunity we have to embrace life, to grab onto life. And in Jude 3, it says, "Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. But I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly. To contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." That we have so great a salvation, we have so great a gift from God as He came and He saved us and He took us out of the muck and mire of our lives. He took us out of the chains that we were bound in. He came to set us free and to set us on a course. And I believe with Jude that it was great for us to write about our common salvation, and most of you would understand what that means, that we have this salvation that is centered in Christ, that is centered in what He accomplished on the cross for each one of us. And all we need to do is to repent and believe, and turn our heart towards Him, and He comes in and washes us white as snow, it says. But there is a contending for our faith, and I believe that that common salvation, that salvation is really our birthing into real life, into true life, into our walk with God. But there is a walk of faith that comes from that, comes out of that. And tonight I want to talk to you about contending for that faith, contending for the faith that Jesus Christ birthed in each one of us, contending for the battle that lays before us. "For I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered. For certain men," in verse 4 it says, "have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness." And I believe that God, we learn to contend for this faith, as we learn to walk with the Lord, that we begin to understand the nature of the battle. I can remember as a young man reading a book, "The Battle for the Minds of Men." And it really opened up my eyes in a very small way at that time. But the more I see it, I realize that we are in a battleground. If you've lived this Christian life long enough, you recognize there are battles that we face. There are contentions that we come against. And if we aren't ready to embrace that, if we aren't ready to understand how to walk through those things, we can often feel very disconcerted when we come in to the battleground. When we come into opposition, if you were saved like I was, where it was just give your life to Jesus and everything's going to go awesome, that, you know, that lasts for a moment. But all of a sudden, difficulty comes, and you're kind of like, well, what's this? And we get in this muck and mire of misunderstanding of the true nature of what we were called into in this life. You see, because I believe that you were called to be more than just saved. Now, I'm going to explain that so I can preach again maybe someday. But each of us was called to more than salvation. Just like you were called in this life to be more than just born. You know, I love ooey gooey little babies, but there's a moment and a time for those. If you're ooey and gooey when you're my age, it's not as exciting, it's not as beautiful. But you were made to grow up, to mature, to walk in life and get into experiencing life for what God has for you, that you have a purpose to being born. That you weren't just born to exist, and we live in a society where existence is everything. That you just have to exist, and that's the way it is. But I don't believe God just called us to exist. He called us with a purpose and a plan. He says, you are significant. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. And I set a plan for your life. And that's the things we need as Christians as we grow in Him to contend for. To contend for the faith of that amazing salvation that we have. To define contend, it says to exert intense effort on behalf of something. To exert intense effort. Contend for your faith. Exert intense effort for your faith. That's interesting. That same word, the root word, is the same word that was used in Luke when it talks about Jesus and he says, and being in agony. That same word, in agony, he prayed more earnestly, so that his sweat became like drops of blood falling down on the ground. That same earnestness, when God was praying and interceding, that his sweat was like drops of blood coming down. That kind of earnestness is the same root word as contending for your faith. And I believe if we can take anything from this, that we begin to understand the nature of the battle for your life and for the territory that God has given you. That each of us, I believe, and if you've heard me long enough, you realize it's a bit of a bent my way, but I believe we have territory that God puts us in. Now that territory might be the acreage that you cover in this physical body. It might be the territory of your mind, of your heart. But I believe it's more than that because you were born into a family. You were born into a job. You were born into education. You were born into a realm, a sphere of influence that God knew and set you in that place. And you're put into that place for a purpose. And if at very least, to contend for God's work in that place. To contend earnestly for your faith. In Hebrews 6 and verse 11, it says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. The same diligence that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promise of God. And so part of this contending is learning how to break through and not become sluggish. When we overrest, I had a little bit longer nap than I desired today. My wife usually wakes me up. I had a little cat nap that went into the nine lives of the cat, I think. But you come out of that and you feel sluggish. It takes you a moment to awake. I so appreciate the word, awake sleeper. Right? There's a time for rest, there's a time for sleep, but it's only to regenerate and to get you back in to what God has called you to do. And so it's important for us to understand as Christians that we not become sluggish on this faith that we so readily have available to us. You see, sometimes we can get so common because we understand so much. We are so well taught that we somehow think we have it because we know it. But it's really transferring it from our mind into our walk. It's allowing what we learn, it says we transform our mind, we get the mind of Christ, but then it's taking that thought and putting it into life. That God calls us into something. He saves us out of something, but he also calls us into something. Hebrews 10 and verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Part of my desire tonight is to stir up love and a few good works. That we begin to work in the job that God has created for us. Because God didn't just save us to get us out of here. We have, you know, I grew up in an era and a time when it was all about how we were getting out of here. Right? You could turn on every radio show, every TV show, and they had the time and the date, and we were just getting out of here. That the earth was for the devil, and, you know, we were just trying to get to heaven. And, you know, maybe that's your theology, and run with it. But there is a place and a time for heaven, but I also understand there's a place and time for me in the earth, and if I check out too soon, I will not accomplish what God called me to do. And that is to affect the realm of responsibility I have. And I believe that that theology created a vacuum in society that we are now suffering the repercussions from because we sucked ourselves out of the school system, out of culture, out of morality, and now we're being dictated on what morality is. And I mean, you know, we were good fools. We bought into it at the time. But now I believe God is calling us to come back to the basics of life and say, listen, there is a faith that I have called you into to change your society, to change those people around you, to preach the gospel and see their life transformed and teach them that they have more than just an existence, that there's more hope than just to get through life. But there is a God who loves them and cares for them and has a purpose for their life. I find it quite interesting that we're legalizing more mind-bending chemicals. But I get it, because if in society your only hope is to check out of society, why wouldn't you do that? But if you have a purpose and an understanding, you realize that your every moment counts. I don't want to be sluggish. I want to have my time of rest, but then I want to be ready. I'm glad there isn't Christian hangovers. That's a little bit of my history way back. But what a waste of a Sunday. You know, a moment, I hope I can share this, a moment on Saturday night ruins your whole Sunday. But then you live for it for the next Saturday night. I can't believe how many services I missed as a young man because I grew up in a religious church. There wasn't the power of God in my church. So I would go party with my church friends. And then we'd drag ourselves through that service and sometimes we couldn't even make it to it. But what a waste. But to give a day to the Lord and to see the presence of God. I'm telling you, the moving of the Holy Spirit is the best, I say this loosely because it's not very good, but it's the best high you'll ever get. Because that's what you were intended to experience. You were intended, anything the enemy comes is a false representation of the true of God. And so I want to encourage you tonight that we contend for these things because we can so easily become sluggish and let them dribble away. And if we're not careful, we send our next generation into a society and a time, into life, that is going to be a greater battle for them because we didn't spend our time doing what we were called to do now. That could use an amen, I think, but thank you. Jude 5 says, I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And we understand in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. This is talking about the same Israel coming out of Egypt. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate spiritual food. They all drank the same spiritual drink. And they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. What? That was Old Covenant, Old Testament, Old Israel. And yet the spiritual rock, it's a picture for us. They came out of Egypt. They went through the waters of baptism. And now they're walking and eating and drinking the rock of Jesus Christ. Does that not sound like our life? I've been taken out of Egypt. I've been put into life. I've been baptized. The enemy is behind me, and I'm living the life that Christ would have for me. I'm drinking and I'm eating his word. And yet that same Israel, some died because of unbelief. And I'm not even going down that road. That's one for Pastor Rhonda on cam. But sorry. Could it be possible that we have a common salvation in Christ, but we could die in unbelief? That we didn't come in. We died in the wilderness, not coming into the full promises that God has for us. See, because that's the ones that died in unbelief. They didn't come into the promise that God had for them. They weren't ready to believe to the extent that God desired. That there was a land. It wasn't heaven, but there was a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of provision, a land for them to take. But they didn't want to believe God to take them into the land. And their biggest hang-up was the giants that were in that land. And sometimes we as Christians, the wilderness life, although it's difficult, it was kind of easy. You had a pillar, you had a cloud, followed the Lord, manna came every day. You had leaders to lead you, tell you where to go. But it was not the extent of what they were called to. It was the transitional ground from being called out of Egypt into the fullness that God had for them. First Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written," listen, "they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come." I believe wilderness thinking, you see, we can allow wilderness thinking to get into our mentality. And to me, wilderness thinking focuses on what I've come out of, not what I'm called into. Right? And I can rejoice being called out of some things. But if my whole focus is on what I came out of, which when you look at Israel, they're always looking back to Egypt. Whenever something went wrong, they look back to Egypt. Well, back there we had all this stuff. Back there, you know, it wasn't so bad. It was bad. But we forget. How many of you know you come into an opposition and all of a sudden we look back, well, I guess it wasn't so bad. Because we forget what we've been dragged out of or brought out of or transformed out of, because this has become common. This salvation, this security, this life we have in God, and we forget how bad it was. And like Israel, we can get a wilderness mentality where we just get comfortable, and we get comfortable, please hear me, complaining. You know, the wilderness mentality is built on complaint. Complaint of my situation, complaint of who's leading me, complaint of what's going on, complaint that God isn't doing enough for me. That kind of, to me, was Israel's mentality in the wilderness. Instead of looking forward to what God had called us or called them into. That there was a slavery mentality that they never broke out of. That they still saw them when they came to the threshold of coming into the fullness that God had for them. They saw themselves as grasshoppers, not giant killers. God saw them as giant killers. God saw them as, this isn't a problem. This mountain, cast it into the sea. How many have to gulp hard when you hear that from Jesus? Really? I can just speak to that mountain and it's gone? That reveals my lack of faith. And just like Israel, we come to the Jordan, we see the good grapes and we see the good land, but we go, oh, but there's this issue. There's these big giants. You know, maybe I've been delivered out of something and God's calling me into this place, and it's like, oh, but I was back then. And yet, so many times, God takes us out of something and then puts us right back into that situation to bring the gospel of God to that situation. But if we're still hung up in Egypt, we'll never have the strength to go into the situation to set the captive free. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. This is New Testament, by the way. As though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. I'm going to give you 3 points to contending tonight. And the first part of contending is that it requires to contend, it requires opposition. Think about it. If you're going to contend for something, there is always opposition. There's always another team, another whatever it is. And the greater the other or the opposition, the greater the contending, but often the greater the reward. How many of you know the gray cup is not won or lost in the first week? But you build up and you get to the best teams, and if you have not prepared for the best team, if you don't have the confidence, I got to be careful, to go for it when it's 3rd and 4 on the 13, sorry. You're going to have a whole season thinking about it. What if? Should I have? Because that other team is not going to let you get away with it. They're not going to try to give you back the ball. They are there to contend for the prize. And the same thing in the things of God, that there is an enemy who is contending for the territory that God has given you. If it be your mind, if it be your family, if it be your job, if it be your life, there is a contention, and the greater the opposition, the greater there is a need to contend. Remember our definition? Contending is to exert intense effort on behalf of something. Listen, sometimes your Christian life is a battle, and you're going to have to make an exertion. Yes, you live by the grace of God, but there is an exertion. There is a time to stand for your family, stand for your job, stand for your finances, stand for your mind, for your thoughts. It says, take every thought captive and bring it to the submission of Christ. There's times in our life when we got to take every thought that comes out and say, listen, is this for the glory of God, or is this to drag me down, to make me sluggish, to make me hold back? It's that simple. So contending requires opposition. Romans 13 and verse 11. And do this knowing the time that now is. And knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. That you are saved, but you're also being saved. You're walking through a process of salvation in life that's transforming you into something so much greater. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor. So there's a saving out of, a casting off what worked in the past may not work now. What got you through yesterday's battle may not get you through today's battle. The things you allowed in your life before may be a hindrance now, because the battle changes. You know, when I was first saved, I got away with a lot of stuff. But by the grace of God, He changed, He moved, He matured. And some of those things, if I was not willing to leave behind, I would still be stuck in them. And so part of what we're talking about is laying off and getting into. Finally, my brethren, in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on that whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We have an opposition, we have a devil, we have an enemy, and he doesn't play fair. And I've been in enough sports games to complain about referees. It's not fair, it's this, it's that, the other. But the enemy, he pays off the referees. And so we need to not be, I don't know what your biggest excuse is. My biggest, it's not fair. Well, of course, the enemy is not fair. The only fair one is God. And He sees us through. He works through those things. But if we're not ready to contend, to battle, to go in and put on that full armor of God, we need the whole armor. And to get the armor to fit, we have to get rid of the other stuff and allow the full armor of God to be our strength. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. That you are in a bigger battle than the people you go to work with or see every day. That there are spiritual powers that are working behind the scenes that they don't even know themselves. And they may just be the agents, but you need to see beyond the agent to the principality and the power that's behind that. And that's the battle we face. We don't go out and chop people's heads off with swords. We pray them in the Spirit for transformation and change and brokenness. We pray the chains of the enemy off. Therefore, it says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Be encouraged tonight. You will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. That's a declaration of faith. That's saying, listen, if I have the full armor of God, if I have God armor on, I am able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. I no longer need to be a victim. I no longer need to make an excuse. I can stand and say, this, thus says the Lord, and no more. That we can contend in the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength of His word. So when evil comes, we can stand. The worst thing to do in the midst of evil, in the midst of the battle, is go to sleep. Can you imagine? You know, in war or whatever, I haven't experienced too many wars, but, you know, the enemy comes charging over the hill and everyone's, oh, okay. But a pretty easy defeat. But no, we stand. We take up the armor. We say, this is the line, no more. Because God has called us to something so much greater. Romans 8 and verse 18 says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation, listen, the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. What is that hope? Again, Pastor Ron can uncan this, but I believe that creation that we see, this temporary tent, cloak, is waiting for the revealing of the children of God. In other words, you and I to get into the battle and begin to take ground and redeem it for the Lord. Most ingenuity in the past history that really made a difference came through spiritual minds. You know, someone had a light bulb before there was ever a light bulb. Can you imagine? There wasn't the inspiration of the light bulb. And I believe that as Christians, if we will allow God to transform our mind, all of a sudden, a lot of the issues that creation, people are battling over right now in creation, would be solved through ingenuity. Now, that's just my own take on it. I believe the Holy Spirit, because I believe that God needs to have a voice in all of creation. For one, he created it. He knows how it works. And so when I look at this scripture, I believe that all creation is laboring, waiting for the revelation of the Lord to come. Now, you can take that and work it how you want, but I believe that God really wants to make a change in our lives, in the realm that we are called into. Point number two, which I began to touch on, is the greater the opposition, the greater the contending, and the greater the victory. When you have a little opposition, you know, my son plays basketball, and there's certain teams we know we should beat. And so there isn't as much contending, there isn't as much having to worry about it, because you just know, unless they really pull something off, you're going to beat them. But then there's other teams. You know, we live in a city of champions. It used to be. No, just kidding. But right now, the whole sports world, including Vegas, is scratching their head at this hockey team we have. Because one night they can beat one of the best teams in the league and then a day later lose to one of the worst teams. And it doesn't make sense. I'm glad I'm not that coach right now. Because it's like coaching two different teams. But you understand that there is a contending for certain teams. And what we used to coach is, don't play to your opposition. See, because so often, psychologically in team sports, if we play in a weak team, we will play weakly. Not as strong, because we just exert just enough effort to beat that team. And so it's very important for us to understand. So the greater the contention, the opposition, the greater the contending needs to be. And likewise, the greater the victory. Think of some of the things that God has allowed you to overcome. Chances are those are some of the greatest memories you have. You know, have you climbed a mountain? Have you jumped off a cliff? I jumped off a cliff when I was a young kid, into water. It was a good thing. But that is seared. I forget a lot of things, but that's seared in my memory. I remember the fear of standing on this little goat trail, looking down this valley in the middle of Australia, not knowing how deep the water really was, and for half an hour talking myself into it with my friend. You go first. No, you go first. But the greatest exhilaration was finally jumping off that thing and finding what, you know, terminal velocity is. and the impact of water at that height. And the force of water ripping your arms off as you go through. But not everybody knows that victory, to overcome that fear. There was a friend of ours that bailed out, like, you know, 100 feet back. And there's been experiences in our lives where we realize, you know, as we overcome these fears, as we overcome these contentions, as we overcome these things, it becomes great victories in our life. And so I want to encourage you to choose your battles and allow yourself to have some victories. See, sometimes our battles, you know, and it says nothing can tempt us beyond what we are able. And I would encourage you that God wants to take you through certain oppositions and see that great reward behind it. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, to bring every thought into captivity." Part of our contending is learning to master this mind with the mind of Christ. How many of you can understand? What goes into our mind is what holds us back. Right? We are compelled or held back so many times by thoughts. And some of them are wrong thoughts. And that's why when Paul writes to them, he says, "Take every thought captive." Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not limited just to our human thinking. But we bring those thoughts captive into the obedience of Christ. God's saying, listen, I want you to take a step off that cliff. And it may not be a literal cliff, but in your mind, it's a cliff. And he says, you know, there was a time when I had to believe God. He was going to save me from the disaster that I was jumping into. And that gave me the ability to jump off that cliff. I had to trust God. Because I didn't know. And there's times in our lives when God, we come up to a situation and the only place is just to go over. And that's where we take every thought captive and say, listen, God, you're telling me to go and I'm going to go. And I'm going to believe God and I'm going to bring this thought pattern of my life into obedience to you. Point number three as I close, and we can come and play. Is that conquering produces, I'm going to call it dominion. When Israel went into the land finally, and there's a list of the kings that they conquered, 31 kings. Every king they conquered, they took over that part of the country. And this is, to me, the key in us contending for the faith. That God created this earth to see His kingdom operating in the earth. To see His will. You know, we pray, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth." What does that mean? That means on my little space of earth, I'm going to do everything I can to see the kingdom of God operating, where the enemy doesn't have room to steal, to kill, and to destroy. When I'm praying for somebody, I'm believing the kingdom of God coming into their life, bringing healing, bringing deliverance. Your will be done on earth. Not just in heaven, but on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no question of who God is. There's no question of His dominion. There's no question of His strength. There's no question of His ability. And so as I begin to be transformed out of the thinking of Egypt, which where God was not, into the land where God is and desires to be, I'm taking spiritual dominion. And I know that's kind of an old word. We're called the Dominion of Canada. That's because we own this land as Canadians. It's our land. You know, we even sing it. God, keep our land. Do we believe it? God, you're taking me into this land. On tomorrow morning, you're going to go into an office. You're going to go into a school. You're going to go into a workplace, whatever it is. And God has, I believe, put you in that place to bring dominion, God's dominion to that place, to take what the enemy is trying to destroy in people's lives, to take what the enemy is trying to rob, even from the people of God. That when we learn to conquer, we learn to take dominion. And I'm going to close, but I really believe that that's a greater level of contending. It's one thing to contend for what you have, but you go try contend for what someone else has. And now we're talking spiritually. The enemy does not want you. He would much desire you to be asleep at the wheel. And so I'm encouraging you, but I'm also giving you a slight warning. The enemy is going to be stirred up if you really begin to do the will of God in your life. If you really say no more to the enemy. You know, you've come so far, but no more. You've come so far in my family, but no more. The contention will be stirred, but I want to encourage you that God is greater. That his armor is able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And if you will take on that armor, and there's times when it's going to take every exertion of effort to draw from the wells of God, from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit, because the enemy's going to be there, and you're going to have to get yourself up and say, no more. This is God's territory. This is God's family. This is God's life. I've given him my life. And no longer does the enemy have room here. That this is his kingdom working in my life. This is his will done on this earth. And yeah, heaven's coming, but right now I am called to this acreage, and I'm going to stand for God, and I'm going to stand for the kingdom, and I'm going to stand in life. And I'm going to contend for the faith that he gave his life for. Because he died for me and for you. And oh God, that I would be worthy to bring your kingdom into this realm. That's the greatest reward. What's the words we all want to hear? Well done, good and faithful. You were faithful with the territory that you were given. I'm closing many times, it seems like, but says the judgment against the angels in Jude 6. Says the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains. The definition of that word domain is the sphere of one's own authority or rule. The sphere of one's own authority or rule, that God has given an authority to each one of us. What am I doing with my sphere? And so tonight as we close, I am really closing this time. I'd encourage you to contend for the faith. Contend earnestly for the faith. Be believers who believe, who take God at his word. Say, God, I'm coming, and I know you've called me, and you've called me out of Egypt, and I'm going to leave Egypt behind, and I'm coming in to the full purposes of what you've called me unto. And I'm going to pray. If it takes sweating blood, I'll sweat blood for you, God. But I am going to contend for this faith because I know that there is a reward that lays ahead. Not just for me, but for those who I can influence for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. The altars are open. Tonight you don't know Jesus Christ and something's resonating in with you and you know you need to get into this battle because God has a purpose for you. I would encourage you to come. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need others to stand with you and contend for the faith, the battle that you're facing. Maybe the battle's too much for you. That's okay. Throughout Scripture, there was others that came around and lifted them in their time of need. In the midst of the battle, come. And as we close, I just challenge you to go into that world tomorrow and contend for the faith of God. Contend for your domain, for your sphere of responsibility, for your abode, for your house, for your home, for your job, for your family. Contend for that faith. And believe God for great things. Lord, we thank you for each person here, and I pray your blessing. God, as they just continue to battle, Lord, in life, that, Lord, there is great reward to walking with you and hearing from you and seeing your work done in us, God. And, Lord, I pray as you contend for faith, God, that, Lord, you would turn the tide of this generation, of this nation, oh God. You turn the tide of our society, Lord. That God, even as the young apostles turned their world upside down, Lord, that your world would be turned upside down for you, God. As your church arises and contends for the faith that you imparted into each one of us. God bless you. Be encouraged in the Lord. Amen.